Live on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five. Number one.
It's five on at time here on Rahimi and Harris. Mark Grody, Dan Weeder are in. Take the North has taken over Rahimi and Harris. This is question number one. Are the Bears now the clear worst team in the NFC North after the Micah Parsons trade?
I prefer using more optimistic words than than last place or worst. I like to use words like fourth place. That's the I said yesterday. I mean, my answer is out there. I said yesterday that the Bears were fourth place because it is crazy to think that the knowing the other three teams in the division and their recent track record and their rosters pre-Micah Parsons, it's silly to pick the Bears anywhere else but fourth if you are being reasonable with yourself and honest with yourself and all of that. So yes, and this further solidifies it for me now with Micah Parsons being on the Packers. So, yeah, unfortunately, this probably does. And it doesn't mean the Bears are going to be bad. It just means that there are three teams that are better than the Bears in the division right now. So my answer is yes.
So I'm going to read the question again and change a word in it. The question was, are the Bears now the clear worst team in the NFC North after the Micah Parsons trade? I'm changing now to still. Are the Bears still the clear worst team in the NFC North? Yes. Until further notice. This team has been a last place football team for 8 of the 12 years that I've been on the beat. That's the worst.
It's been a rough lifestyle for you.
All these other teams in the division are more proven. They're more established. The Bears have more to prove than any of those other three teams in the NFC North. And hopefully they get to the business of proving it real soon. They've got two division games to open the season. You want to change people's minds? Here you go. Vikings September 8th. 6 days later, go to Detroit and play the division champs. So let's see what you got. Try to change the narrative. But for now, they are the clear worst team in the NFC.
Robbie, how do you feel about, and I know you got something on your mind too, but how do you feel about Dan changing a word?
Yeah, sorry about that.
He's footnoting me. He's changing words in the five on. How do you feel about that?
Micromanager. He's the wordsmith, though. It's good to have him on board. But also, I think you have just been calloused that this team is just going to be bad forever. Like, if you took a bet every year, what's the worst team, and you place on the Bears, that's a pretty good bet, a very good bet. But now a bonus question in this number one five on it.
Bonus.
Are the Packers... Who is now the best team in the NFC North? Are the Packers now the best team in the NFC North?
I don't think so. And, Robbie, I do think it is still Detroit. I do. And I know, look, it's...
I'm a Bears fan now.
Easy to pinpoint the places where they are not as hefty as they once were. The coaching staff, two of which are on the Bears right now. So that, I do... I mean, I am not disrespecting that truth about the Detroit Lions. It's just, like, I think that they, like, Ben Johnson walked out of town leaving them a machine. You know what I mean? And then on defense, they'll get Aiden Hutchinson back this year.
Yeah, I'm super curious, and maybe you can help with this. I know they lost both coordinators. Was there a total of assistant coaches that they lost?
No. Lost JT Barrett.
I think it's at least 9. It may have been
Upwards of a dozen. Ben Johnson.
There are other guys that went with
Aaron.
But
the thing about Detroit is they kept all of their talent. It's not like they lost a major player. It's not lost an Amon-Ra. They have all of the same talent.
So I'm with you. I expect them to take a step back, but they're taking a step back from 15-2, right? That's just going to happen.
And they'll get it tuned up eventually. Like, even if they stumble out of the gates, they're just too, like, all, Robbie just said it. All those players are still there. Players rule the day at the end of the day. So I'm still Team Detroit. Are you with me on that?
I'm with you, but I have great curiosity about the coordinators. I really do.
Because that's fair.
Name them. Grody, name them.
The coordinators right now
for the Lions, right?
Can't do it.
So exactly. So that they've got to start to make people remember their names, and they get a chance to do it. By the way, I think they open with the Packers, right?
Oh, Detroit does.
Yeah,
I believe so.
So
Robbie, do you know the assistant coaches on the?
That'd be John Morton and Kevin Shepard or Kelvin Shepard.
Kelvin Shepard.
Lions open at Green Bay Week 1.
Look at that.
Baby T
to the rescue,
getting it there.
I love it.
So that's a big deal.
Yeah. Next question.
Number two.
Should the Bears have made a push to trade for Micah Parsons?
They should have inquired. Push, probably not. Like, we talked about this earlier, Grody. It's the cost. You know, you're talking about the draft capital, the money that you've got to spend, and then obviously if the other team is asking for a player, you've got to weigh those costs. I think we're both in agreement that it's not time yet for the Bears to stick that foot on the accelerator and say, we're not slowing down.
It's,
you know?
It's hard to feel that measured today, though, but yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
And so that would be my take, is that they've got a little bit more time. The other part of this is you've already cast your lot with your pass rush, right? Like, you paid Montez Sweat big money. You then went out and got Dioye Dangbo in free agency with a hope that he can take his career to a level that it hasn't been at yet. And so you just don't have the capability of adding another massive salary, $47 million annual average value for Micah Parsons in the new deal with the Packers. So I'm okay. I'm sure the Bears explored this. I'm okay that they didn't get ultra aggressive and try to replicate Khalil Mack 2018.
And we don't know for a fact that they didn't inquire. It's possible the Bears inquired. It's also possible they made an offer. We don't know for sure on that. I have not been able to get any intel to say that they have, but that's a question we probably will be able to ask in the future. So we're on the same page. We've both been saying it, that yeah, next year feels like the year, which I get. It sounds silly because we also obsess over the fact that we don't know who exactly is getting to the quarterback. Like, it's just been a conundrum for the last, you know, last year and going into this year, obviously. So that's an issue. And then, you know, again, and I know this sounds like a leap of faith, it's about the DA, the Dennis Allen factor. And I'll be more anxious if I don't see some sort of action on the field from Dennis Allen in getting his guys to the quarterback. If at the trade deadline, like, it's still not working, we can reopen that conversation.
This defense isn't raw, right? The Bears defense isn't raw. You've got established veterans on all three levels of your defense, and you've got a coordinator with a reputation for being able to utilize that. And so I would guess that Dennis Allen's pressure feels a little heavier right now. He's got to make good with what he's got, and he's got some good stuff.
He does seem pretty confident about, we talk about Ben Johnson's want to compete. He does sound confident, but let's see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Five on it. Number three.
Third question here on Five on It with Mark Rohde and Dan Weider in for Rahimi and Harris.
Yo.
Which is more painful for a Chicago sports fan? Green Bay acquiring Micah Parsons or Kyle Schwarber hitting 4 home runs in a game yesterday and absolutely mashing this year?
Oh, my God. I, for me, it's Micah Parsons, and it's because I just love Schwarber. I have a soft spot for the man. He's one of those guys that, of course, like, you look back and say, non-tendered by the Cubs? Like, you just let Kyle Schwarber walk out the door for nothing? But I'm not going to, you know, contradict myself. At the time, when we all always have to take ourselves back to what was actually going on with the Cubs, and nobody was hitting. And so at the time, although I felt like the Cubs had gotten, like, the best that anybody could have gotten out of Kyle Schwarber, I was wrong about that, and I genuinely wished him well out the door. So I will go with Micah Parsons in this case. It always reminds me, this is a weird analogy that I'm about to make here too. It reminds me of Lovie Smith's last year, in that they won 10 games, and, you know, you look back now and you say, why the hell did they ever fire that guy to get to Mark Trestman? You had to be there,
yeah,
and know what that season was like, and to know what it had been like with Lovie Smith. There was fatigue. It was time for something different. Mark Trestman wasn't it, but this is just my example of giving. Sometimes you really got to know what the texture of the situation was, and the Cubs were not hitting. They stopped hitting, and Schwarber was part of that at the time. So my answer is Micah Parsons.
Trivia here. The only person to get Kyle Schwarber out last night in a game where he homered 4 times.
I know the answer, so.
Vidal Bruján. How about that?
Oh, God.
Position player coming in at the end of a huge blowout and able to get Kyle Schwarber out before he hit the 5th one in the seats. Kyle Schwarber is a murderer of baseballs. It is impressive to watch. It is hard to imagine that the Cubs let him go at the time that they did. And I would like to hear more from you just to help me understand it a little better on why it was time. I felt it with Lovie. You felt it at that time that it was time for a change.
You agree with that?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Because a lot of people, his resume has aged very well.
You did not anticipate having to change coaches four times in the next dozen years like the Bears have done.
Yeah.
It was time. But Schwarber, like, what he's doing wasn't something that you looked at the time and said, he's not capable of doing that. And now he's going to go. I mean, he might get up towards 60 in the home run column.
49 right now. Yeah.
September's still on tap.
He could be the MVP.
So I don't know. That one's stinging a little bit right now, particularly with the Cubs' struggles hitting the baseball.
So who did you pick as the worst? Was it Parsons? Maybe I missed it in there. Was it Schwarby or Parsons?
The question was, which hurts more, right?
Yeah, correct. What hurts you?
Schwarber not being here hurts more.
Okay.
So hurt.
Very hurt.
My glasses fell off.
Oh, you speak Turkey voice?
No, I do, absolutely.
I have no idea what you guys are saying.
The young guys behind the glass have no idea why we're laughing.
Jerky boys? Oh, you don't know the Jerky Boys?
What is the Jerky
Boys? They don't even know what prank calls are.
Saul Rosen. Oh, that's true. Yeah, right. Because they went on Star 69 killed us all.
Can you give me the cliff notes of what the Jerky Boys are?
They were a prank calling duo.
From New York.
From the 90s, right? Probably the 90s.
One of the funniest things you'll ever hear.
All right,
I would say go to Best Buy and get the CD, but neither of those two things exist anymore.
YouTube rabbit hole tonight.
Yeah, it's the funniest thing ever.
Well, we touched on the Chicago Cubs there with former Cub Kyle Schwarber, but now let's go to the Chicago Cubs, because as far as they are concerned, what the hell?
Best question in 500 by a country mile. What the hell is right, baby T? What the hell is right? Watching them get swept in San Francisco at a time when the Brewers had come back to reality a little bit and gave you a window of opportunity to really shrink that gap in the division is an absolute what the hell series. First time all season that the Cubs were swept. It felt like every time I looked up, they were hitting into a costly double play with guys on base and an opportunity to break a game open. And then you just play around a little too long and you, as the kids behind the glass might say, you FO. And you let the Giants hang around in a tie game into the ninth. Of course, they're going to beat you and send you on your way with a sweep. That really hurts. At this time of the year, Grody, these losses really hurt. You need to be taking advantage of opportunities. And the Cubs have just been so average for so long here since the All-Star break that you lose a little bit of faith when you come off a sweep and then you follow it with a sweep in the other direction.
Isn't it the epitome of one step forward, two steps back? We're all coming off the elation of the three-game sweep over Anaheim. Kyle Tucker getting it back on, you know, homering and getting big two-out hits. And then all of a sudden, here we are. Cubs get a skull thumping on Wednesday in a 12-3 loss. What was worse, actually, there were, like, consequential things that went down in this series, like Matt Boyd not looking good for a second straight start in the 5-2 loss on Tuesday. That was very hurtful. And you're right about these double plays. I wrote it down on my little play chart here as DP Fest, because it's been a festival of double plays. That's not really part of the Cubs story either, but it's like one after another in the Cubs first inning. Baby T.
Yeah.
We were talking about this in the studio. I was on a Zoom call and you're like walking out of here, and it was in the first inning. You were right, Farengol. The Cubs scored a run. They were looking good. They were making contact. Then all of a sudden they had first and third, and Nico Horner hits into a double play. And then in the eighth inning.
Yeah, that's the one that hurts.
That's the one
that's
hurts.
One that hurt.
3-3 game, Matt
Scalded
Shaw.
Scalded line drive.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, Jim Deshaies said on the broadcast that Shaw has to wait for that ball to go through. Shaw's on second base.
Michael Bush comes up.
A screamer to second base. Second baseman had to go up a little bit to make the play and then just doubled off Shaw.
Yeah, Shaw.
Shaw at second base, inning over. There's nothing worse. Is there anything worse than the line drive double play in baseball? Because it's like,
No. Like, there's nothing worse.
It's a fast range of emotions is what it is. Yes.
Who's headlining DP Fest as well? That seems like, is that at Grant Park?
No, I think Avenged Sevenfold, actually, who is opening up for System of a Down this weekend. Crazy sidebar, walking in this morning on State Street. No joke. There is a pop-up Avenged Sevenfold store in near near the South Loop, and there was people lined. You know, you see, you're walking through the city and you see lines. All you're like, what the hell is this line for? And I looked up. Oh, it's an Avenged Sevenfold pop-up store.
Old man over here says, what the hell's Avenged Sevenfold?
They're a rock band, man. Come on, dude. It's all going down. System of a Down. Didn't you hear the promo earlier?
I did.
Wake up. Put on a little bit of makeup. Yep. Here's.
Five on it. Number five.
Last question here on Five on It. It's a life question. Does the end of Labor Day weekend mean summer is over? When does summer end for you?
It's a life question. And it's a hurts my soul question because when you cover the NFL, your summer essentially ends on reporting day to training camp, which is often late in the mid-20s of July.
We accept that.
And you realize, and what people don't understand is that all of a sudden your weekends are gone. You got preseason games. You got training camp practices on Saturday. Sometimes you got them on Sunday. And all of a sudden, the summer, which just began, is abruptly ended. For me, it also ends when the kids go back to school, which was just last week. And so you just gotta cling to it, right? Like you gotta get your fingernails in the cliff and not let it go. I will give the NFL credit for this. A few years ago, they changed cut day from Labor Day Saturday to the middle of the week before Labor Day, after they reduced the preseason from 4 to 3 games. That is a life changer for reporters who cover the NFL. Labor Day weekend is now mostly clear unless your team trades for an all-pro pass rusher somewhere else. You don't have to sit there at 3 o'clock on Labor Day Saturday while the rest of the world is enjoying the last shades of summer trying to figure out if they cut their 7th wide receiver.
Yeah. I think summer is over when I, Mark Grody, when I accept that it's time to put the shorts away. Like, I haven't done that yet. Like, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool in the morning. Like, so that's why it's hoodie short season right now, which is exactly, if you're watching
it's
on Twitch.
It's a good season.
It is a good season, but, and I usually, it takes a while for me to accept it. So, no, summer is not over. And here's especially why. There's still going to be some hot games. There's always hot games, like sweaty games at Soldier Field in September. And and I would just like to add a little of my own addendum to it. This will be really shocking to people. There are Bears season tickets in the Grody family. And my mom, who of course is going to get offered which game do you want to go to? My mom would always say, I will only go to the September games because that's when it's warm. Who wants to be miserable when they're sitting out at Soldier Field, especially when you're getting up there a little bit? Happy birthday to my mom.
Love it.
My beautiful mother. And I hope she doesn't hate me for saying this, but she is turning, she is 80
milestone
today. 80
milestone.
Happy birthday.
Happy
birthday,
Jean Grody. Happy birthday to Jean Grody. she doesn't really care for my Harry Carey. No, I'm kidding.
Enjoy
it. No, she loves it. She loves it. So we're having a big party for my mom tonight. Happy birthday to you, Mom.
Shout out to Jean.
I love you. We have more of the Raheemy and Harris show coming up with me, Mark Grody, and Dan Weedsy Weederer. What are we talking about? Oh, we're going to dig a little bit. We got some more stuff on Kyle Schwarber here, is what we are going to discuss.
Good.
And the Cubs. DP Fest has come and gone. We could talk more about that, but there were other things of consequence in the game. We'll talk about the Cubs and what's coming up with them, and Schwarby McSchwarber as well. Along with Dan Weederer, I'm Mark Grody, in for Raheemy and Harris on The Score.
Layla Raheemy, Marshall Harris, Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
1-2.
Oh, that one's drilled deep to right field. He has done it! 4 home runs in a game! A 3-run home run!
Thuggish, ruggish, bone. Kyle Schwarber had a 4-homer, 9-RBI night for the Philadelphia Phillies in a 19-4 skull-thumping of the Atlanta Braves. It is the Raheemy and Harris Show on The Score with me, Mark Grody, and him, Dan Weeder of The Athletic. Dan and I collectively perform regularly the Take the North podcast as well. All right, here's Sizzle Chest, as
well
Peoria
done.
Matt said. I stole that from Peoria Matt, but I go deep. I still laugh, but I still can't get a breath when I listen to the Jerky Boys. When
Shut up!
You want to sue me?
Why not?
Me?
Sue everybody.
The people you work for and handle, I probably will sue them too. What do you want to sue me for?
My wife is throwing up and you talk coupon.
All right, I tell you what, I start work tomorrow. Yeah, auto mechanic. I got 18 years. Yeah, I got all that stuff, tough guy. Kids listening right now, I promise you, you will love it.
Robbie's going to have a great time when he gets into the archives.
Right, and we're not even using half of the content because half of the content is unusable on terrestrial
radio.
What
a time
radio.
Capsule.
Oh, I still tell Alexa to play Jerky Boys.
Just while you're getting ready in the morning?
Yeah, so the Schwarbs, the Thuggish Ruggish, with a huge day yesterday. We're going to get into that here in just a second. But first, I've been anxious to talk about this as well, Dan. Gabe Ramirez and Judson Richards will be at Sluggers today.
All right.
In the Ville, in Wrigleyville, today from 2 o'clock until 6 o'clock p.m. Stop by, see Gabe and Judson talking Bears and Cubs. Plus, check out the indoor batting cages only at Sluggers in Wrigleyville today from 2 to 6 on the Score. Have you ever whacked balls around in the at Sluggers?
It's been a minute, but yes. Once upon a time, yes. Right. Hey, what a place, right? Like, what
great.
A place.
Oh,
what
no,
a place.
It's great. It's
and
great.
It's one of the originals that's still there, right? Like, that's the hardest part for people our age to go into Wrigleyville and be like, man, like, this is still cool, but it ain't what it was.
Oh, the Ville has grown. It has expanded. Yeah, I still, like, every time I go, it's like, wow, it's this whole world. It's great, though. I like it. I mean, we all talk about the classics and what it was like in the 80s and the 90s.
Yum Yum Donuts used to be right here.
Exactly. Yum Yum Donuts. Oh, yes. But anyway, Schwarber, 4 homers, 9 RBIs. He is the 21st Major League Baseball player to do that. A couple of names that came to mind for me that sparked like memories was Mike Schmidt, the former Phillies third baseman, Hall of Famer, obviously one of the best players ever. Phillies used to be in the Cubs division, so Schmidt would come rolling into Wrigley Field, you know, 4 times a year, whatever it was, and he did have a 4-homer game against the Cubs in 1976. Now, I don't remember that because I was too young, but they always replayed that game. Do you remember that, Dan?
Every time that Mike Schmidt came, they replayed highlights of that. He had the healthy mustache. The big swing, and there it went.
He kind of had a Tom Selleck look, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Like the mustache that works.
Yeah,
you know?
I like that.
I hated him back then, like I really did, but now I have a healthy appreciation for what he did. How about this one? This year, like 4 homer games, the one that really stands out, Eugenio Suarez.
Hey, you, Henio.
Yes. The Swore had a 4-homer game this year. And then the one I remember, speaking of my parents and my mom, who's turning 80 today, I was at my parents' house. This was in the year 2002. I was watching the White Sox play baseball against the Seattle Mariners. I was just taking it in, and Mike Cameron hit 4 home runs against the White Sox.
And hey, you, Henio.
Spot on, Pat Hughes. Spot on, my friend. So Cameron did that. And, of course, Cameron, a former White Sox player. So, you know, this is another whole topic. But talk about getting revenge against your old team, which every player in every sport wants to do. Cameron, 4 home runs that day.
Pretty nice day.
Yeah.
Pretty nice day. It feels good. I remember, did Mark Whitten hit 4?
He did.
For some reason, I remember this.
Yeah, Whitten did with Cardinals.
Yeah. Look at that. So you remember that as well.
Come on, I'm in there.
So this thing, I'm coming back to it for a third time. This whole concept of Schwarber having the opportunity to hit a 5th home run last night against a position player, Vidal Brujan. Cubs fans remember him.
Yeah.
Speedy young man.
Brujan.
And his previous 2 pitching appearances, he had given up home runs to Patrick Wisdom and Shohei Ohtani. So Schwarber gets up there last night with a legitimate chance. It said in this article I was reading that Brujan entered the night with a career ERA of 43.20. So what an opportunity for Schwarber that he ended up, I think he popped out on that last at bat.
The The irony. Mark, the texture says, do you remember Bob Horner? Of course I remember Bob Horner.
Braves,
yes.
Curly hair.
I didn't write all these names down because I was afraid the audience wouldn't know who these guys were. But of course I remember Bob Horner. He played with the Bravos. He played with the Cardinals. I remember him playing third base for them.
He and Dale Murphy, I think, batted back-to-back for a little
while. Oh, with the Braves?
Right?
Yeah, Dale Murphy, a two-time MVP, but not in the Hall of Fame. What's this, Brett Boomer? Who's Brett Boomer? Is there? Oh, somebody
says he's born in the 40s.
Oh, Brett Boomer. Let me tell you about this guy. He was something really good with the picture moving really fast. He had four home runs. Look at him warming up in the back. 312-644-6767 is the number. So we talk about the Cubs a little bit. Also, we've got a couple calls. Do you want to take a couple calls or do you want to talk about the Cubs?
I have one more Schwarber question for you. Of his home runs all time, which one is your favorite? Is it the one against the Pirates in the NL wildcard game in 2015? Or the one, I think, the same month when he went to the top of the Budweiser sign
against the Cardinals. Yeah.
Which one do you like better?
It's the one in Pittsburgh because that was the beginning.
It's a moment, right? Like that we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of that. I feel like that is the game that actually won the Cubs the World Series.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know it was a year before that, but it was what unlocked the
It
unlocked the experience that then allowed them to go into 2016 with the juice that they had.
When I'm needing my spirits raised, there's two audio clips that I listen to. It is the Schwarber home run, I was there in the booth with Pat and Ron, but I listen to that to make me feel good. And then there was a Jonathan Toews game in Colorado before he was Jonathan Toews, and the Colorado announcers, he had had a hat, maybe a couple. No, it was just this unbelievably sick move that he made in Colorado before the world knew him, and the Colorado Avalanche announcers were just like, this kid, oh my God. Like, they couldn't help themselves.
Yeah.
They were gushing like they were the home call of that. So, but to your point, the Schwarber home run in Pittsburgh was devastating.
Yeah, yeah. And a moment. Like, that's a legitimate moment in Cubs history that I think, you know, that whole game. Yeah, Arrieta pitching and Schwarber going long and that team arriving earlier than expected and then obviously being on the ride that they were on that ended that night in Cleveland or that morning in Cleveland.
It was that morning in Cleveland, that one morning in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Although 15 was, and they probably needed it, but they did get their asses kicked by
the Mets.
Mets. Come on out of there, Harvey. Matt Harvey and Noah Syndergaard and those guys. I mean, their pitching was just unbelievable in that series. Okay, I've decided we're going to take a couple of calls here because we've denied. Unfortunately, I hate when we run out of time and we leave somebody on hold. So 312-644-6767. We'll start with, it's Wayne. Wayne in West Lafayette. Wayno!
What's up, Wayne?
Happy holiday weekend, my brother.
Man. Hey, and Mr. Weeder, man, what a great day to talk to you guys, man.
Great to talk
Always
to you.
Great talking to you guys, man. You guys are the best.
Thank
you.
You
know, Grody, when you get the Grody Show on there, it's going to be 10 on it. You know that, right?
Anyway. That's very demanding. If the Grody Show has 10, that's...
Five, you're getting, Grody's going 10, man. He's going sky high. But anyways, you're forgetting about Bellinger, man. He's making every Chicago team pay since he's been traded. What did he get? Three against the Cubs, didn't he?
Yeah, sure, old belly. Yeah.
Well, man, I miss him. Anyway, but yeah, I just wanted to tell you, man, old Ben's going to outsmart that big new guy from Green Bay.
Parsons,
He's going to be out there. He's going to be out there spinning in the mud. He ain't going to know which way the ball's going by him. He's going to be out there spinning around. He's going to be dizzy. They're going to give him oxygen because his head's going to be spinning.
I like where Wayne's head's at. I like where your head's at, Wayne. We got to save this clip.
They're going to have to outspeed him, and there's have people flying by him, catching the ball, and just burning him, making him feel like a fool.
Well, during Bears-Packers week, we'll have somebody on from Green Bay, and we'll ask him, hey, do you have your oxygen tank ready? Because Ben Johnson is a-coming.
You bet, guys. You bet.
And, Wayne.
I just want you guys to know I love you guys, man. You're the greatest, and I appreciate
love you, Wayne.
It. And you guys do a great job, man.
Wayne, there's just so much love. Wayne, thank you so much.
Have a great weekend, man.
Yeah. Wayne,
bye-bye, guys.
Wayne, thank you, buddy. Wayne makes everybody feel better. Let's go to Kevin on the Odyssey app. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
So of course.
I would love to hear your opinion on this. When the Cubs ended up kind of dishing out everybody after this the World Series win, and started trading everybody away and not signing everybody. Looking back at that now, can you now say, with Schwarber and how well he's doing, that's got to be one of the biggest misses in recent Cubs history? Because not only, if not Cubs history, because not only did, look what he's doing and they could have kept him, they probably could have signed him to a steal of a contract back then and had him locked up, and look what he's doing now. So just wanted to get your point of view on if you think that will go down as one of the biggest misses in Cubs history.
Thanks, man. It's a great question. I think this, we talked about this a little bit earlier. I'm going to say no, because I think that there is texture involved. I mean, we heard, I don't remember where I heard it, maybe it was on the Molly and Haw show, where they played the cut of Theo Epstein saying that the offense is broken. I don't know if you guys remember.
And oh,
this,
yeah.
This is like that Theo would have these really long press conferences at the end of the season where he would sit there for an hour and allow reporters to ask any questions. And he was, talk about Ben Johnson
candid
transparency.
Yeah,
candid, all that stuff. And he talked about the, and it was painful. It was very, like, the what Theo Epstein put together with the Cubs worked until it didn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. Everything was starting, including Kyle Schwarber. He's still a productive player, but even he, there was a fade, and it just felt collective. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have done that.
Offense broke.
These are important things to remember. And if people, like, if you do look at it, like, if Schwarber hit, like, he's going to have 50 home runs this year, obviously. And he might have, it's possible I could change my mind. Like, in 3 years, if he keeps on this, yeah, it'll go back. But I do think that we owe it to them and ourselves to give it the proper texture. The part that really looks bad, Dan, is the non-tender part, where they let Schwarber go for free.
Nothing nada, in return.
Nada.
Right? Like the departure of Javi was heartbreaking at the time. In retrospect, you're like, okay, PCA's here, right? Like,
yeah.
That's the reason you make a deal like that, because you're able to get something that turns into what PCA has become. The Schwarber thing, I'll see your texture. I'll touch that texture and see what it feels like. But I just, it's not like Schwarber's doing things now that you didn't know he was capable of doing. And so this is part of the problem I have, even with the Cubs' recent current offensive struggles.
Mm-hmm.
It's DP up best. To somebody in the organization to press the right buttons to get guys back unlocked, right? And so even if the offense was broke, fix it. Like, have people within your organization that can help a guy get back on track, because it's not like we're watching Schwarber now and go, never saw that coming in a million years. You're like, no, he used to murder baseballs. He'd hit them into the the river in Pittsburgh. He'd hit them on top of the scoreboard at Wrigley. Like it was there, and it's your job as an organization to get the most out of those people, and I think they may have missed in that regard.
Right, and there's no doubt about it. I mean, that is all true, and they did, like, in terms of getting guys straight, again, just a little bit of texture. They did, like, they had John Maley was their hitting coach, who's back, by the way, now as their assistant hitting coach, to Dustin Kelly. But back then, you had Eric Hinsky, and that was in the World Series year. And then they started changing. Like, they went through multiple hitting coaches. So they were trying to do something. They weren't firing the manager,
sure,
obviously.
Sure, sure.
So they were trying to do things, just to add that part as well.
That's fair.
But yeah, it's pretty hard to look at this. They call them Babe Effing Ruth, right? When they, I think it was Spiegel who got that line from somebody, that when he was drafted, they're like, all these guys are coming in. Here comes Chris Bryant. Here comes Javier Baez, whomever else, Addison Russell. All these guys are coming. They were like, this is the guy, though. Like, get rid. This guy will thump a baseball. So to your point, they did know that he was capable of that.
Yes, and then they gave up on it too soon.
They did. Let's take a break here. It is the Rahimi and Harris Show. Mark Grody and Dan Weider are in. Halftime is coming up next. And there is the manager of the Chicago Cubs. I feel like he owes us. I feel like Craig Counsell should be on the score right now with you and me. And if Craig is listening right now, Craig, pick up the phone.
Challenge.
312-644-6767. When we return on Halftime, we will tell you why on the score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
Welcome back into the Rahimi and Harris Show on the score. Mark Grody, Dan Weider in for that duo, who will be back together again on Tuesday right here on the score. It is halftime. tell you what we've talked about so far today, as you might guess, with Dan Wiederer and me in today, as we host the Take the North podcast, we talk about the Bears. So we talked about the Micah Parsons trade to the Packers a lot, and who it might affect most at Halas Hall: Ryan Poles, Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, Braxton Jones. Everybody will be affected by it. Everybody in the division as well. Talked a little bit about Kyle Schwarber and the Cubs having gotten swept and things not looking good for the Cubs at the moment. The old one step back, one step forward. Took some of your calls as well. And we've got Kyle Long, Cassie Carlson, and Prince Amukamara still coming up on the show today.
It's halftime.
Yes, it is. It is halftime. And last night in that Cubs loss to the Giants, 4-3. If you were watching or listening to the game, because I listened to it for a decent portion of the game walking around the city, and Ron Coomer was pretty incensed with the umping. It was bad. Yeah. Like, the home plate ump had a few too many Yinglings or something. I don't know. It was like bad for both teams, though.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Ball's out of the zone.
Ball's well out of the zone. We all see it. Strike. We all see the little tracker. What'd you say?
Strike.
What happened last night?
Craig Counsell out of the dugout. And he just ran Craig.
He ran.
Wow, that was a quick hook. Quick thumb, whatever you want to call it. Now Craig's going to kind of give a piece of his mind.
Yeah. Got the hook. The heave-ho.
Quick thumb.
Like, yeah, that home plate ump was not messing around with anything. He wasn't hearing any arguments. He's getting yelled at from both dugouts. Yeah! And he gets booted out of the game. And so, you might remember earlier this year, he was also ejected in a game. And it just happened to be that the day after, Anthony Herron and myself were filling in for Matt and Lawrence. And this was the conversation we were having with Craig Counsell about his ejection. Craig, you're the best man. Honest to God, if you do get ejected, will you come on the afternoon show again tomorrow?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I will.
Mark
I
that
will.
Down.
That's why we're safe.
So, does that count still? Like, he got ejected again. I know there's a little bit of time that has gone by. It wasn't the next day. Does Craig Counsell not owe us an appearance on the show right now? And an opportunity just to go off on the Yingling drinking umpire.
That felt like a promise to me.
Totally. Hey,
Craig, you want to be a manager that breaks your promises?
Where is Craig?
Where's the accountability?
That's right.
Craig, you want to be a manager who doesn't have accountability?
Transparency, accountability. Yeah, you got to keep up with Ben Johnson. There's a new coach in town.
That's right.
His name is Reggie Hammonds, and his name is Craig Counsell.
You know what, Zanies, they'll give you like a free ticket that you can use sometime in the next 2 years.
I feel like that's
what we got right here. Like, we should be cashing in our Craig Counsell ticket.
That's
right.
That's right.
Now.
Absolutely. I think that would be only fair.
What do you want to ask him?
Well, what the hell happened last night? Why'd you get ejected? What'd you say? What was the magic word? What was said? All of that kind of stuff. What did Nico Horner say?
I was going to say the last time I was in here with you was the day after Nico got rung.
And what did he say? Oh,
you're having a really bad day so far.
You had a bad day.
He said so far, too. He was giving him an opportunity to bounce back later in the day, and he still got rung.
I said
you're having a really bad day.
Bobby did say
Say to Nico, and we have the tape. I'm not saying we have to find the tape, but for the record, I did push back on Nico a little bit on that.
You're a pusher backer.
Just a little bit, because it is a little condescending to say something like that.
But it's intentionally so, but it's not worthy of getting thrown out of the game. I think that's the whole purpose of it. It's to send a message, but in a way where you get up to the line and you're like, I recognize how bad you are today. I just want you to know that. And then you walk back to the dugout and you're good. And he got the quick thumb.
Yeah, it was a little petty.
The old quick thumb.
Right. Yeah, you got the old quick thumb.
The old quick thumb.
If that was Craig Counsell, I would have thrown a riot fest.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that was so good, Robbie.
Too many fests yesterday. There was already a DP fest in that game.
That's right, DP fest.
Ben Sevenfold, too. They got their thing, too.
They got a pop-up store in town. Unbelievable. Why are all these people? Oh, bro. Avenged Sevenfold. Keep listening for your chance to win general admission tickets to Riot Fest on Sunday, September 21st, featuring performances by the following: Green Bay, The Idols, Bad Religion, and Inhaler. It's all going down. I'm going to go. I am planning to go to that as well.
There was a Bad Religion song late in high school. You're going to have to tell me what it was, but it was in the queue. It was on a mixtape that I had in the car.
They do have some nice sounding songs. I can't go deep on Bad Religion, but yes, I know it when I hear it.
I'm going to look it up during the break. These guys are like mixtape Jerky Boys. What year are these hosts from?
We are teaching them, man. And also,
we have a correction. It's
Green Day.
Green Bay will not be at the Ryan Fest. It'll be Green
Day.
Did
I say Green Bay? I'm excusing
Micah
myself.
Micah Parsons here at Riot Fest.
Is Micah Parsons in your head, Grody?
He's rushing the passer, and he's rushing.
I hope you had the time of your life.
I am seriously a threat to go to see System of a Down as well.
If you saw Micah Parsons in a mosh pit, oh, God, run.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, Green Bay. Sorry about that.
It's just like Dorsey Levins running around at the festival there.
Dorsey Levins? My goodness gracious. Do you remember Eddie Lee Ivory?
No.
See, that's our little, that little age gap. Just a little bit. No, Eddie Lee Ivory was Eddie Lee Ivory and Johnny Hector were the Packers running backs in the 80s. So it's a nostalgia train every once in a while. All right, coming up next here. On the Rahimi and Harris Show, ding, 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 we have the following. Kyle Long will be joining us. You know him. He's the former Chicago Bear, and he played with the Bears in a great year of 2018 until it wasn't a great year. But we will have the privilege of speaking to the former Bears Pro Bowler, Kyle Long, next on the Rahimi and Harris Show on The Score.